Look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Welcome back, folks, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. I had to move some things around here on my desk. Sorry about that little lag there, but that's all right. Opening up this hour with a number of issues. You know, it's interesting too. We've often talked, and even some people think ad nauseum about the homosexual agenda and about the free speech. Canada has the anti-transgender speech up there in Canada. You talk bad about that. Well, there's a bill right now that would ban anti-transgender speech, including both gender identity and gender expression, with up to 2 years in prison for violators. Now, think about that. You see, it's not about equal rights. It's not about civil rights. It's not about the rights of individuals. It's about taking away the freedoms to adhere to the normal moral aspects of society, the biblical aspects of society. It's not what you think it is. It's much bigger than what you think it is. It's a huge deal, and people need to understand that. Just as you need to understand about the, what the Pope is doing right now with meeting with, you know, or has done meeting with the, as Tom Horn talked about, meeting with the imam and laying out the foundations for this new world religion. Folks, I had mentioned earlier about Holtones Live. I would urge everyone to go to holtoneslive.com. You need it now more than ever. And I had the opportunity to speak with my accountant here again. We had some business to take care of, and he said, thanks for turning me on to. And in fact, he had sent an email saying, thanks for turning me on to Holtones. Then he slammed me. He says, it's not because of you. You know, I might add, we're friends. We've known each other for, my goodness, for a quarter of a century. Laugh out loud. He said, we've been playing it in the office. My partners and I find that it gives us better clarity and focus in dealing with numbers, and you know how I like to deal with numbers. Now, this is from my accountant, and I had he had looked, he did our taxes, our corporate taxes, and he looked at various things, and he asked me, well, what are Holtones? And I explained to him, it's a company that you know, this Michael Terrell had developed these frequencies, this music. And so I rarely get any non-business emails from my accountant, but this was one that was very, very satisfied and very proud to get. Yeah. So if you're stressed, if you're overworked, or if you feel that way or unmotivated, we do have a recommendation for you. And the recommendation is to go to wholetoneslive.com. That's W-H-O-L-E, toneslive.com. And we do use, and we endorse products that we use ourselves and believe in. And this is something that we use and believe in. At wholetoneslive.com, they've got a collection of proven music therapy. If you want to help yourself reduce stress, ease your mind, and motivate you, You can get started today. You can listen to a free sample of this amazing music that heals and inspires and takes away all that background gunk. Trust me on this. Trust my accountant on this. My accountant's a good guy. He's a Christian, and he understands the frequencies of the Bible. He understands that the frequencies can be used for good or for bad, and the frequencies of King David, the biblical aspects of this. We had Michael Terrell on our show, and he explained how this music was inspired by the music frequencies of King David. Go to WholeTonesLive.com and read about it. Read carefully. Download the samples, and then go ahead and order the discs. You will see an immediate improvement. And whether it's trouble sleeping or dealing with PTSD, and this is something I really believe, that people with PTSD, if you suffer from that, and so many people today suffer from that, check this out. This is for you. You know, this country has, we've got a generation of people, of young soldiers suffering from PTSD. Yeah, this is being used at Walter Reed in studies of there. WholeTonesAlive.com. Not New Age, it's biblically based. WholeTonesAlive.com. That's WholeTonesAlive.com. Again, WholeTones with a W. W-H-O-L-E, ToneslLive.com. And if you've used it, let me know. Send us an email, studio@HagmanHagman.com. Let us know how you liked it. But, Joe, getting back to the issues at hand. Oh, one more thing I should mention, too. I still have several more shelf, on the shelf of books, Stained by Blood. If you want it signed, just, go to stainedbyblood.com and take a look at the upper right there. You'll see a place where, for $20 all, and that includes shipping. $20, that includes shipping. I'll sign it, personalize it, and send it out to you. Stainedbyblood.com. It's when this print run is done, that's done, and very successful. I think I've 5,000 plus books sold. Numerous good comments on Amazon. A successful book signing and such. And in fact, I'll be a guest on a radio show here a week from Saturday, talking about giving you the inside scoop on the book and the events. I think it's an hour and a half interview. And I was on last Monday, the Hebrew Nation, with Daniel Holdings, talking about it as well, among other things. But so it's still there, stainedbyblood.com. And for $20, that includes shipping. I'll personalize a book to you, send it out to you, and it's people like it, so it's good. And also healthmasters.com. By the way, Ted Brewer is gonna come back on with us on Friday, talking more about current events, headlines, and some other things unfinished from last Friday. So it's gonna be a good show this coming Friday. Memorial Day weekend is coming up. I would urge everyone to be very aware of your surroundings on Memorial Day weekend. If you're planning to spend some time in the nation's capital or wherever, some of the large cities, please understand that we are living in a world that you just don't know what can happen. And I do believe that as we progress down the time, as we check off the days off the calendar, I do believe that we're going to see some very strange things happening. And I don't believe, I think we're going to see an entirely different landscape, political landscape, subsequent to the conventions, both Republican and Democrat. There's some weird things happening with the Cruz campaign. There's some weird things. Yeah, I said Cruz campaign.
What campaign?
No, I said campaign. You're right. What campaign? Did you know that there's some stuff going on with Cruz still? Washington State GOP delegates?
Yep.
Okay. And you know, people think that this is all over and it's pretty much a done deal. But Washington State... Now, they hold the Republican primary today. They're holding their Republican primary today. There is a twist with that. 40 of their 41 delegates that were selected this past weekend to attend the RNC in July are Cruz partisans, Cruz supporters. And they outnumbered Trump supporters at the state GOP convention in Pasco. What's this all about? What's going on here? There are some backroom dealings that are taking place. It's not written in stone. I got an email I'll say a disgruntled listener saying, you know, you should be, instead of talking about Cruz and Trump and Clinton and Sanders, you should be promoting Tom Hoefling. Now, we had Tom Hoefling as a guest on our program. Yeah. Mike Huckabee, too. All right. Tom Hoefling is a marvelous candidate. Is he still in the running? Yes. But we're talking about topical issues here with respect to the what's taking place within the framework of the establishment. So, just so you know, I mean, I really believe that there are going to be some historic events take place at both conventions. And it's likely that there will be violence. Both Philadelphia and Cleveland, the Democratic and Republican conventions this summer. Buckle up, because it's going to be, there will be some shenanigans that will take place that will turn into some riotous events, I truly believe. And we're going to be there to cover it. God willing. But I mentioned before the break, I just want to mention this as well. You know, consider this. Right now there's Canada's ruling party. They've introduced a bill that would ban any type of anti-transgender speech. And that includes talking about gender identity, gender expressions, with 2 years in prison if you violate that bill. The bill is an incremental extension of the existing Canadian hate speech laws. Now, if you're listening to this in Canada, consider the fact that we could be censored given this bill. Because we truly believe, and we have said this before, that this transgenderism, the homosexuality, the sodomy, is anti-biblical and therefore not, obviously not, it's not right. This is not a civil rights issue or an equal rights issue. And people need to get the understanding or have the understanding that this is not about a person struggling with their sexual identity, that one in a, really in a million person, legitimately struggling with their sexual identity. That's not about that. It's not about protecting or affording that person the same rights as any other person. This is an all-out full assault on our culture, on our society, and our way of life. And folks, understand this is biblical. But see, you look at Canada, this incremental extension of their existing hate speech laws, meaning that they already had hate speech laws up in Canada. How did we get there? How did they get there? Well, the progressives, the far left progressives up there, just as they are down here, there is actually a line of communication between the socialists, the Marxists, the Fabian socialists, the cultural Marxists, whatever you want to call them here in America, that are communicating with those in Canada. This goes beyond, of course, the North American Union. You're talking about this sharing the playbook and tactics. The bill in Canada seeks to amend the Canadian Criminal Code to expand it to include any public commentary, any public speech or communication that promotes hatred on the basis of gender identity or gender expression. The problem is this. It's the interpretation of what promotes hatred. does me saying or Joe saying that homosexuality or sodomy is a sin, it's an aberration, and it is not about, promoting that is not about civil rights? Does that fall into the category of hate speech? I really see the day. Now, we only live 100 miles or so from the Canadian border. I really see a day when we, members of our organization, will be disbarred from entering Canada. I see that day coming. Think about that. Your Facebook postings or your social networking postings or your public commentary will be used against you in the immediate future. This is what this is all about. And this bill up in Canada has teeth. They're talking about 2 years in prison if you say something that could be considered hate speech. This will include, and in some cases has already included, Islam. For me to call Islam the cult that it is, yeah, that could be considered hate speech. Same thing goes with these transgender laws. And in the U.S., the federal judicial system right now, they're going to ultimately decide who will be charged. In Canada, much like the U.S., the equivalent of our judicial system will decide who will be charged. See, as in the U.S., the Justice Department, where are they getting their information from? Where are they getting their... Who is the Justice Department turning to for help with the formation of laws? Guess who? The homosexual activist groups who are proponents of hate speech laws like this. The LGBTQ community. Trudeau. On May 17th, I don't know how many people caught this, Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, he announced the existence of this bill in a speech on May 17th, which happened to be International Day Against Homophobia, Transphobia, and Biphobia. Now, do you know what biphobia is? Yeah, you do.
Phobia, I mean, of bisexuals?
Yeah, pretty much that's it. Biphobia. It's a fear. It's a fear of let me get the exact terminology here. It's an aversion toward bisexuality, bisexual people, either as a social group or as individuals. So, yeah, I'm just going to leave it there because you get the idea. Right? I mean, you do, but the fact that Canada is this way right now, and what's taking place in Canada, folks, you gotta understand.
Taking place here is an article out. Obama's transgender bathroom directive is even worse than you think.
Oh yeah,
and it says. It goes into how much worse the trans. This is what it says. Ben Johnson, a reporter of LifeSite News, did discover that there was much more to the. In the 8 pages that Obama issued on May 13th via his mouthpieces of the Department of Justice, Civil Rights Division, and the Department of Education, than was originally led on. And this goes on to say, here are even more directives. In the transgender letter, all issued in the name of creating and sustaining inclusive, supportive, safe, non-discriminatory communities for all students. 1. School districts must allow biological males and females to spend the night together in the same hotel room on field trips. 2. Colleges must let men who say they are transgender be roommates with one or more women. 3. School officials cannot even tell those young women or their parents in advance that their new roommate is a man without risking a federal lawsuit. 4. The Dear Colleague letter is how the federal government defines transgender. Transgender is an entirely subjectively defined. A student becomes a member of the opposite sex the moment he or she feels like it. The instant he or she tells school officials about his or her feelings, they must immediately treat him or her as that gender. In the words of the Dear Colleague letter, when a student or the student's parent or guardian, as appropriate, notifies the school administration that a student will assert a gender identity that differs from the previous representation of records, the school will begin treating the student consistent with the student's gender identity. In other words, it's all the students say so. School districts are prohibited from even seeking medical diagnoses. And there is no minimum threshold required to qualify as transgender. There is no maximum to the number of times a student can change genders. For some people, gender is not just about being male or female. In fact, how one identifies can change every day or even every few hours. That means one could be male during homeroom, female during gym class, male again before he gets on the bus, and the school district is bound to comply every step of the way. Also, schools must provide transgender students proper housing. The school must allow transgender students to access housing consistent with their gender identity and may not require transgender students to stay in single occupancy accommodations or disclose personal information when not required of other students. This means that the student who says he really is a female must be allowed to spend the night in the same room as female students, such as his girlfriend's hotel room on field trips, or even the room of a girl that isn't his girlfriend. Anyways, we know what this all boils down to. And this is, I mean, it's just... Where is the threshold of insanity start or end? Or does it? I mean, is there a threshold anymore? How insane are these policies?
Oh,
you can be a man at homeroom, a woman at gym class, and a man by the time you're back on the bus and the school has to comply with that? Yeah. I mean...
The homosexuality, the homosexual agenda, the eugenics agenda, the assault on our culture is grave. I mean, the threat is grave. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their own hearts to sexual impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this reason, God gave them over and abandoned them to vile afflictions and degrading passions. Now, I mean, I can go on, but Romans also, 1, chapter 1, verse 24 through 27. And check that out.
In the New Testament, it also talks about how men and women give up the natural use for each other and in turn pervert that and go after one another, men for men and women for women.
Yes.
And in doing so, they pervert the creation of God.
They do. That's right. And mystery religions that are discussed, you know, Judaism, Christianity, Islam, in their orthodox forms, each of these religions regards homosexuality as an abomination. Now, when you look at this, how can that be? And, but pagan cultures have no such prohibition. Go on.
How is Islam
exactly
going to take? Are they going to be forced?
No,
tolerant toward their children changing genders?
Well, see, okay. Obviously, we're
not
talking...
Or are they exempt from it?
There will be a calling. I'll just say that. And this is a complex issue in terms of the tactics and the modus operandi. But look at the homos... Okay. And again, this is why you've got to go back to... You wonder why Hillary Clinton is so far unscathed in all of the scandals in which she has... and all the criminal activity in which she's been engaged. Think about this. Well, Hillary Clinton is a big proponent of eugenics, a big fan of Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood. Margaret Sanger, of course, a big eugenicist who also advocates genocide, especially of the black race. And you need to understand that the Tavistock Institute, the CFR, and other organizations who are backing Hillary, Diane Rodham Clinton, understand where the heights to which she will take this country when it comes to hate speech, when it comes to social engineering and taking us down via the destruction of our nuclear god family. And only within paganism, pagan cultures, only within pagan cultures does homosexuality, pansexuality, and such are allowed to exist, not within Judaism, Christianity, or Islam. That's why they've got to, in this New World Order, they've got to outlaw the basis of all three religions and to make it one religion that is tolerant of all paganistic cultural aspects, including but not limited to homosexuality and bisexuality and all the sexual perversions, because it will be based in a pagan architecture. It'll be structured via a pagan architecture. And shamanism, even. How many people know about that? Many aspects of shamanism had homosexual content, and many of the gods, the spirits, the divinities of the world have been associated with homosexuality. This, according to Judy Gahn, or Gron, who has written about this. For example, in Tahiti, there were special divinities for homosexual worship. The ancient Shinto temples of Japan display scenes of sexual ritual orgies, similar to those of the Romans, the Roman orgies. All right. This is a cultural thing that's pagan in its roots, and pansexualism, the Illuminati, the Jesuit Vatican led homosexual bishops. All right. The Illuminati bankers, again, who are nothing more than Illuminati or Jesuit / Vatican homosexuals. They financed intellectuals who recommended ways to weaken our society to accept their tyranny, because in order to overtake us, they've got to weaken certain aspects of our culture. This is why it's a big deal.
Look at the planks of communism. Look at Alice Bailey's 10-point plan to destroy America, all being done, like you said, from the inside out.
Well, yes. And you know, this also goes into the current, I'll say the Illuminist thing, because when you look at the age of Aquarius, all right, Christians and others, heterosexuals and homosexuals, regardless, we are being pushed into this Aquarian society. You remember the song Age of Aquarius, you know, mm-hmm. back in the 60s? Well, all right, this is a demonic push. And again, this is important for people to understand, because it infiltrates. Think in the back of your... Close your eyes for a minute, unless you're driving, which don't do that. But you know, if you close your eyes for a minute, and just picture this. Picture this nice, big table, your dining room table. And you've got this white, beautiful white, 600 thread count Egyptian white cotton tablecloth, and you've got printer's ink, small bottle of printer's ink, and you tip that over onto this beautiful white cotton, high thread count Egyptian cotton white tablecloth. Watch it. Can you see it in your mind? You've got the initial spill, and then it starts spreading. It starts wicking out all through that tablecloth. And soon, all across the table, as it wicks out from the original spill, you can almost see the threads being stained one by one, and the ink inching its way toward the edge of the table. Well, this is what's taking place to right now via a cultural revolution that's demolishing our country from within, the modern forms of subjugation and subjection are marked by certain subtleties, for example, the subtleties of language that serves to elevate these agendas, the agendas of infant or unborn child murder and the perversion of our sexuality, the assault of our nuclear family. The homosexual populace and the rest, divided between bisexual and questionable. Right now, the goal right now is to have at least half of the homosexuals. And this is important for people to think about this. Right now, half of the homosexuals, or people who identify, who raise their hand, are you a homosexual? And they raise their hand, yeah, I'm a homosexual. Here's the goal of the paganistic Luciferian Illuminati led powers. What they want to do is they want to have at least half of the populace identifying with a perversion of some kind. Not only do they want the homosexual community, the LGBT community, separated from the population and protected as a protected class, they want subclasses within that community. So they can hang, hook their wagons onto pushing pedophilia and pushing every perversion imaginable. This speaks to transhumanism as well. The subtleties involved in what we're seeing talks about the trans evolution of society, the subtleties of transhumanism. This opens the door for, well, a lot of things. And, we talked about this. We talked about Steve Quayle talks about the various angels named in the Book of Enoch and the perversion, some of the perversions that they were tasked with. The homosexual and lesbian activists are not going to tell you or your children the realities because, well, they're just not going to. This is the destruction of Western civilization. Nothing less than that. Please understand that.
That it is.
Pederastic heroes and deities. If you don't know what pederism is, well, you know what it is.
That's pedophilia.
It's a little different. Family show. Let's move on. But so understand, this is a little bit bigger than what we're being led.
Well, let's move along here. We got some other news coming out of the TSA today.
Yes.
TSA boots head of security amid anger over the long lines at the airports. The Transportation Security Administration ousted its head of security this week because the agency is seeking a different approach, not because of any wrongdoing, TSA Administrator Peter Neffinger said Tuesday. Kelly Hogan was removed from his post amid an uproar over long lines at airport security checkpoints and intense scrutiny of bonus payments. Neffinger said he had hoped to find another place for Hogan's talents within the TSA. Given the specifics of daily volume, I felt it was important to have a different management approach going forward than we've had in the past, he told USA Today. Anyway, the lawmakers have recently blasted the TSA at a hearing for paying bonuses at a time when watchdog tests revealed screeners routinely failed to find weapons at checkpoints, delayed travelers from coming through security. The hearing is one of a series where whistleblowers denounced the agencies for rewarding top officials with large bonuses while retaliating against workers who complained about unfair practices. There is a whole lot going on in the TSA right now, but people are not being held accountable. I'm not going to go through and read this whole article, but Kelly Hogan has been removed from his position as head of security at the TSA following the hearing on May 12th on mismanagement of TSA. Now the question is, will the security lines, will anything change?
Nothing is going to change.
Exactly.
No.
Exactly. This goes into some statistics from 2015 versus travel 2016, how there has not been a notable increase in travel yet. The wait times have increased 10, 15.
You know what, Joe? We should ask our listeners, should we not attempt, would it not be right to attempt to recreate or to redo what InfoWars did, and it did successfully. I mean, Alex Jones did a great job with that opt-out week. Shouldn't we take this opportunity, given the fact that the head of the TSA has been used as has been sacrificed on the altar of politics now, shouldn't we use this time to really promote an opt-out? In other words, say, no, I'm not going to do this. I mean, can't we get behind something or start a movement like this? Can we be like that? Or is it for naught? I don't know. I mean, Coach Dave Dobmeier did a heck of a job with Target, and we need to keep pressure on Target. But my question is, would it work with the TSA? Or are people just so dumbed down that, you know, it wouldn't make a difference with the TSA? Can we get enough people out there? My question is to you guys. Can we get enough people out there to affect a change by getting TSA kicked the hell out because we're gonna put our foot down and say we're not going to fly? I mean, can we do it?
I wish that'd be the case, but I don't know. It happened once, and I think that opportunity, for whatever happened, was squandered away. But I believe if it were to happen again, we would see the ugly face of false flag terror attacks.
Something I really believe that we need to do something. Folks, we don't know. I don't know what it is. I really don't. But we need to put our foot down. Coach Dave Dobmeier, America's Coach, PTSalt.com, Salt and Light Brigade. You know, he single-handedly took on Target. Well, when I say that, I mean, he did, and their stock fell millions of dollars and
billions
of dollars. And I believe that we can do the same thing. We have to, first of all, we have to keep pressure on this.
Check how their stock's doing.
Yeah. We have to keep pressure on this. There's so much to get into as well, but before I get further, I'm going to mention this because yesterday.
Climb back up a few points.
Okay. Well, we need to keep pressure on Target and say, we're not going to go in there. We're not going to buy from you. We're not going to, because of your insane policy. And people have been getting through tips at HagmanReport.com. People have been sending a lot of information about various perverse activities taking place at Target. Just want to let you know that we're collecting that information. Let me back up to last night's program very quickly because, Tom Horn and Steve Quayle did say something and this is so critical. If you're watching the larger picture of the one world religion being coalesced or coalescing, the new world order being created, and as I said on Hebrew Nation when I was interviewed, and I've said this on our show before, folks, please understand all of the events that we're seeing today. Consider a tapestry. Consider a mosaic, and all of these little. And you know what a mosaic is? It's actually it's a aggregate of small little pieces. Sometimes the pieces are bigger, the other pieces are bigger than some. So you might have pieces of various sizes that create this mosaic. This is what we're seeing today. And every piece represents, in my view, or at least in my experience and in my example, represents a line of battle, a field of battle, a theater of battle. You might have a huge piece. We'll say, let's say your mosaic that we're looking at in this example is the size of a dining room table, maybe a corner of that table. There's this area, you know, maybe a 2-foot by 2-foot area. That's the homosexual agenda. Well, inside that area, there are, not only is that like a big, big piece, but there are smaller pieces inside that 2x2 area. And every piece represents a battle. What I'm saying is, all of this, all of everything that we're seeing today are pieces of a greater tapestry. And we have to connect. We have to look at the, we all have to look at the tapestry, at the greater picture, at the great big mosaic to understand how everything interconnects. So what Tom Horn and Steve Quayle said last night, I wanted to hit this really quick. Pope Francis, the Catholic Pope, met with Sheikh Ahmed El Tayeb Monday. Now, Francis, and this is something that was kind of mentioned, but it really wasn't. I mean, Steve Quayle talked, you know, he drove it home a little bit, but I really want to drive this home. Think about what was said by Pope Francis when he met with this imam, this Sheikh Ahmed, on Monday. What did he say? Our meeting is the message. What does that mean? Our meeting is the message. Now, you could take someone like Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or Rachel Maddow or Tucker Carlson or name the pundit, okay? And you could talk, they could talk about this particular meeting between the Pope and an Islamic imam, Islamic sheikh, and they could discuss the various aspects of it. But when you look deep digger into this, and you hear this, our meeting is the message. What does that message mean? What is this Vatican, perhaps non-canonically elected pope, as Tom Horn suggested or said is possible? What does that message convey? Especially considering that Sheikh Ahmed Al Tayeb is the Grand Imam of Cairo's Al-Azhar Mosque, as you pointed out earlier, and described him as the highest figure in Sunni Islam. But what does this mean? Our meeting is the message. Think deeper and think outside of the box. When in history, Joe, has a pope and an imam met?
Never.
Never? I don't know. Perhaps not at that level. Right. This meeting occurred at a time when there were more Islamic attacks on Christians than ever in modern history. And you got this imam invited to the Apostolic Palace at the Vatican. The meeting, it came in the context of some interesting statements that the Pope had been making about Islam and Christianity, and you had pointed this out. Michael Snyder wrote about this. We had Michael Snyder on our program before. I think it was last week or the week prior.
Last week.
Okay. Here's one example pointed out by Michael Snyder about this meeting. Today, I don't think that there is a fear of Islam as much or as such, but of ISIS and its war of conquest, which is partly drawn from Islam. Now, this, let's see here, this came from the Pope, I believe. It's true that the idea of conquest is inherent in the soul of Islam. However, it is also possible to interpret the objective in Matthew's Gospel, where Jesus sends his disciples to all nations in terms of the same idea of conquest. Really? Yeah.
He said that? Comparing Jesus to ISIS. Yes. Yes, he did.
You know, the Pope also said that he dreaded hearing about the Christian roots of Europe because to him they take on this colonialist overtone. He called on European nations to integrate Muslim migrants into the continent. All right, so you've got a one world order Pope. You've got this new world order agent, the new world order Pope. And no surprise there. But going back to the essence of this, our meeting is the message. That message, I submit to you, that message is the unification of Islam and Christianity. That's what's going to, the takeaway from here, that's what's going to happen. And in order to do that, you've got to pervert the true you got to pervert true Christianity, and you've got to change the cult of Islam to accommodate the changes there. But at the end of the day, you're going to have this alien savior, perhaps. Because are we not? Did we not? Did they talk about this last night?
Mm-hmm.
About the alien savior. But I believe, and the other thing too, I want to mention, and just drive this home too. The title it confused me a little bit. The Islamic Antichrist. It doesn't mean that the Antichrist will be Islamic, but a byproduct perhaps of the Islamic agenda. I'm glad Tom Horn had cleared that up last night. Because I'm not so sure that the Antichrist is going to be totally Islamic, but we'll set the stage and the pattern and the foundation for an Antichrist. But again, I really, really, really watch the Pope and certainly understand the degree in which that statement, our meeting is the message, those five words, it's absolutely incredible to me.
Here's a report. From ProgressiveToday.com.
Yep.
Illegals were told to vote for Democrats or face deportation. According to a new report from The Extract, illegal immigrants in the United States in 2012 were sent to states with lax voter ID laws and told they would be deported if they didn't vote Democrat. From the report, illegals told to vote Democrat or face deportation. Documentarian Joanne Livingston has been working with her husband, Luke, to take a comprehensive look at the ongoing border crisis as experienced by the illegals themselves. After numerous interviews, she recently reported a number of astounding revelations that only confirm some long-held suspicions among conservatives. Most notably, she indicated that witness after witness after witness asserted they were given voter registrations prior to the 2012 elections and sent to states without voter ID laws. Upon receiving the instructions, Livingston explained they were informed that unless they show up and vote for the Democratic ticket, they would be arrested and deported. Another shocking allegation revolves around proposed legislation she reportedly accessed during research for the documentary. If passed, she noted the immigration judges would have their hands effectively tied when addressing the overwhelming problem of illegals skipping their court date. It goes on to say it isn't difficult to believe, is it? Democrats paint illegal immigration as an emotional issue, but really it is more about votes for them. And there is more to this story. This information is older, but just coming out now. Oh, goodness, I lost my train of thought. There was a story about illegal immigrants having to do something. Oh, about how the ICE agents, Border Patrol agents were told not to show up at the deportation hearings in order so that the immigrants would be able to stay and the judge would have no choice but to let them back into society.
Yeah.
I thought that was outrageous.
Well, and it's...
They're telling law enforcement officials to break the law.
Well, right.
I mean, if you get a traffic ticket and the cop doesn't show up against you or to talk, he catches you speeding.
Normally it's rescheduled, unless you say, and you got a good attorney, and you say, hey, BS, and then it's dismissed.
But you can bet if you get a ticket, that cop's going to be there 10 times out of 10 times, unless it is rescheduled for other reasons.
Right.
But it's like getting a speeding ticket and the cop's being told, you know, we're going to get
this is worse than a speeding ticket.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. I couldn't believe when I read that article yesterday that actual Border Patrol and ICE agents were told to stand down from deportation hearings. It's gotten that bad. I mean, it's not enough to legalize and ship in illegal immigrants, but actually catching illegal immigrants.
Right.
How many times have we seen stories of illegal immigrants being deported who have murdered somebody only to come back to this country and do it again?
The repeat offenders, I'm having trouble with my R's today, but the repeat offenders are immense. This country has a problem with allowing criminals to stay, obviously stay within its borders. We can deport. Folks, we can deport millions, 20 million people. We can do that. It wouldn't take that much. I mean, people said, well, you really can't. The logistics behind it would be just nuts. No, I think if we privatize the manner in which we do it, I think it could be done with dispatch and expedient, with expedience. We can dispatch these people out of the country. And we need to do that. But yes, as you said, Joe, the ICE and Border Patrol saying, oh, they're being told not to show up for the hearings, and that basically is an automatic win for the person in this country.
Mm-hmm.
But not a great percentage of the time, those people won't show up for the hearings either. So it's a push in a way. I don't know how many people saw this. We're getting close to the top of the hour. Stan Dale joining us here, but Tom Brokaw, my goodness, you know, people look up to him, and many people look up to him. Tom Brokaw. This journalist, and here's what the old school journalists are. All right, this kind of BS. Brokaw gave a commencement speech at the University of Mississippi, and he told students that gun ownership—if you own a gun—it's just going to lead to more terrorism. The stupidity is, may I say, appalling. Brokaw said this. You ready for this? Here's his quote. I'm appalled by the determination of organizations and individuals to arm more people without any appreciation for the consequence of even more lethal weapons that are missed, he said. More guns and more firearm tolerance will mean more homegrown acts of terror. You know, it's him and people like him invited to these liberal cesspools of mind control and social engineering. Seriously, this is just they know nothing. Well, no, let me rephrase that. This is social engineering at its worst. I just keep everywhere I turn. I don't know how many people saw the transgender man that leading the faith-based agency appointed by Obama. What a just folks, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about.
We covered this.
Yeah, we did cover it, but it hurts my eyes.
I know.
Okay, what was his name? Barbara Satin, the assistant.
Satan.
Yeah. Well, she might as well be. I mean, she's an active member of the United Church of Christ. I mean, I don't know. Can we put a picture on YouTube on this? Can I send this to Eric? Because if I have to suffer. I'll tell you what. No, I'm not going to do that to our listeners.
Spare the audience
and viewers. It's just, if you just search under images, Barbara Satin, S-A-T-I-N. Oh my word. Okay. Faith-based, United Church of Christ. Oh my goodness. I don't know. This week, though, tomorrow, I just want to also mention this. Tomorrow is going to be open lines. The second 2 hours, the first hour, we got a good few things planned. Friday is going to be Ted Brower. Now we also have Carl Gallops. Hey, how many PP Simmons, Carl Gallops? We got the Carl Gallops scheduled for next week, and
that should be fun.
That's going to be a great program.
Definitely looking forward to that.
Yeah. How many people out there? I'm looking at our vast studio audience here at the former Ed Sullivan Theater here in New York City, although that brought into our Northwest Pennsylvania. All right. See, sorry, guys.
That's Deborah.
Barbara Satin.
Barbara Satin.
Yeah. If you don't want to gouge your eyes out after looking at that, I mean, seriously. That's nightmare material.
There was an article on Drudge where it said how two brothers became two sisters.
Oh, God.
I don't know why that picture reminded me of.
This is the messed up
world we live in. Yeah, Stan Dale will be joining us after this top of the hour break. We're going to get into some stuff we do every Tuesday with Stan. StanDale.com. Go to show images on the right-hand side. Yeah. See what he's going to talk about tonight. We'll be right back.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.